Been a long time. How firm a foundation, you saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent Word. I'd invite you to open His Word to Matthew chapter 14. And we're going to be looking primarily at verses 22 through 33. Very familiar passage about Jesus walking on water and all that good stuff. What is the context here? What have the disciples just experienced? They have just taken part in a great miracle. They have watched as Jesus takes a little boy's lunch and multiplies it into enough food to feed 5,000 men, hungry men, plus their families, thousands and thousands of people. They watched that happen. They handled the food. They distributed it. They picked up all the leftovers. Who could have done that? Who could possibly have multiplied that food for all of those people except God? Verse 22 says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side. Why such a hurry? Matthew doesn't tell us. But John gives us the reason in the sixth chapter of his gospel. When he says, therefore, when the people saw the sign, the miracle which Jesus has performed, they said, this is truly the prophet who has come into the world. So Jesus, perceiving that they were intending to come and take him by force to make him king. Jesus knew that this crowd is all caught up in a hero atmosphere here. That they're not being motivated by what God's will is. Their intent is not to do God's will. They're all caught up in this atmosphere, and the disciples are in danger of getting caught up in this same atmosphere. Can't you just imagine Peter saying, okay, I'll be the attorney general or something, you know? So he compels the disciples to get into the boat, go ahead of him to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And after he had sent the crowd away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone, but the boat was already a long distance from the land. We're told in Mark that they were out now in the middle of the lake. We're told that that's 3 or 4 miles from land. They're battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, somewhere between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. in the morning. These guys have been at this all night. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. And he said, it's a ghost. And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, take courage, it is I, do not be afraid. Peter said to him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, you of little faith, why did you doubt? When they got into the boat, the wind stopped, and those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, you are certainly God's son. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that the Holy Spirit has seen that your word has been written down so that we can handle it in our hands. We can read it, and that he dwells within us so that we can understand it, so that we can understand the lessons and the principles that you have for us, and through the power of the Spirit that we're able then to obey and put those principles into practice in our own lives. And so, Father, we ask that you would bless our hearts through your word and by your Spirit this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm sure that all of you, along with myself and other people, have witnessed the tremendous devastation that Hurricane Harvey and Irene and Maria caused in Texas and Florida, Puerto Rico. I thank the Lord many times during all that I didn't live in southeastern Texas or in Florida or in Puerto Rico. We're blessed to live where we do not have to prepare for tornadoes and hurricanes. That's a tremendous blessing. So we don't have to deal with those kind of weather storms. But we do have to deal with storms of another kind. Storms of life. Storms of circumstances and situations that can result in broken hearts, shattered lives, even loss of hope. And all believers will encounter many such storms through their life. These storms are unpredictable. We don't know they're coming. Things are going well. Life is good. And then we get that diagnosis from the doctor. Or we get that phone call that our unwed granddaughter is pregnant. Or we get that text message from our grandson that he now calls himself gay. Or we learn that our child has been seriously injured. Or the boss calls us into the office and saying, I'm sorry, but we have to let you go. Or our spouse begins to talk about divorce. Or our spouse of many years goes to be with the Lord. Suddenly, the winds of circumstances are against you, and the water of life is rough. The outlook is uncertain, frightening. Can be very painful. These storms are not only unpredictable, but they vary in intensity and duration. Some of these storms last for years. They're not enjoyable, never are. They're never easy. They're never comfortable. And they may be very painful for a long time. But they will come. And we need to be prepared. And in this text, in this account of the disciples, the Holy Spirit gives us five assurances on which we can rest and our faith be strengthened when we go through one of these life storms. First of all, be assured that the Lord has directed the storm. Be assured the Lord has directed the storm. Now, for Christians, there are basically two kinds of storms. There's the storm that comes because we have been disobedient. We're not living according to God's will. And like Jonah, like David, God sends a storm to get your attention. He tries to get our attention so that we can quickly settle the account with him and get back on the right path. He gives us the example of Jonah and David and other people in Scripture to encourage us to avoid the mistakes that they make and avoid that kind of storm. But he gives them to us also to encourage us that when we do sin and one of those storms comes, is to settle it quickly. When the storm comes, Lord, is this because I'm disobedient? Is there sin in my life? And if the Holy Spirit indicates, yeah, well, then take care of it. Deal with it quickly. Don't bow your neck. Don't be stubborn. Don't open, give God an open invitation to increase the intensity and the duration of the storm. So those storms are storms of correction. And we need to go to the Lord and find out, Lord, is this the reason for this? But a second one, and the one we want to talk about this morning primarily, is storms that are designed to help us grow spiritually. It's not because we've been disobedient, but it's a storm to strengthen our faith, to become more rooted and grounded in His Word, to enable us to get to know and understand Him better, to love Him more, and become more obedient to Him. We call this a storm of perfection, a storm of growth. This is the kind of storm the disciples are experiencing this night on the Sea of Galilee. They are doing just exactly what Jesus told them to do, right? Get in the boat, go ahead of me to the other side. And now here they are. It's somewhere between 3 and 6 o'clock the next morning. They're still in the middle of the lake. They're still 3 to 4 miles from shore. They're unable to make any headway. They're exhausted physically. They're exhausted emotionally. They're desperately just trying to keep from crashing or turning over and sinking. And they are becoming more terrified by the minute. And they have no thought about Jesus. There's no indication here that anybody is giving any thought to Jesus and what he said to them. Go ahead of me to the other side. I'll meet you there. All they can think about is trying to stay afloat. Now, I'm not being critical of these guys. I've been there and done that. And probably will again. But the Holy Spirit wants us to learn from their experience so that when we get caught up in one of these storms, not because we've been disobedient, we have no evidence that there's any sin in our life. But when we get caught up, we can be assured that this is of the Lord. He has directed this storm for my spiritual benefit. He is preparing me for what he has coming for me down the road. This assurance doesn't stop the storm, right? The storm's still there. The storm's still raging. But this assurance begins to change my focus. It begins to change my focus from myself and what can I do? How can I get through this? How can I stop it? How can I change this situation? It changes my focus from that to the Lord and to the fact that He intends for this experience to prepare me for what's ahead. Someone said, whatever your present experience is, he's talking to Christians now, whatever your present experience is, it is preparation for your next experience in the will of God. Isn't that great? And that's true. Whatever your present experience is, it is preparing you for your next experience in the will of God. And so when I get this change of focus off of myself now to the Lord, and the Lord has brought this storm, then what does the Holy Spirit do? He begins to remind me of some verses of Scripture. The just shall live by faith. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Or, I know the plans I have for you, for your good, says the Lord. These are promises. These are promises that God has made. God always keeps His word. So, but the focus has changed now from me and how can I get out of this? How can I stop this? How can I get over this? To the Lord and His word. And with this assurance, I've taken the first step in gaining the insights now that the Lord has for me. As long as I stay focused on me and me trying to handle it, the whole situation becomes more discouraging, more confusing, more fearful. And I wind up saying, it's a ghost. But when I'm focused upon the Lord and who He is and what He says, there comes assurance. So the Lord not only directed the storm, we have the assurance that He knows my situation and He's praying for me. Matthew says, after He sent the crowd away, He went up on the mountain by Himself to pray. Mark, in his gospel, adds this, after bidding them farewell, He left for the mountain to pray. When it was evening, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and He was alone on the land. Seeing them straining at the oars, for the wind was against them. He knew where they were. He saw them. He knew the time of day. He knew how hard they'd been working. He knew how exhausted they were. He knew how fearful and worried they were. He knew how strong the wind was. He knew how high the waves were. He knew how hopeless they felt. And He knew that none of them had called out to Him. But He prayed for them. He's not praying that the storm is going to stop. He brought the storm. He's praying for their protection. He's praying that they'll be strengthened physically, that they'll be strengthened emotionally. He's praying that their faith will not fail. But now keep in mind, the disciples are unaware of this. They do not know that Jesus is praying for them. Matter of fact, they're not thinking about Him at all. But the scripture tells it to remind us. The Holy Spirit lets it make sure that we know that he was, so that we're reminded of this incredible truth, that he always lives to make intercession for us, right? He always lives to make intercession for us. Hebrews 7:25. Romans 8:34, he is at the right hand of God interceding for us. Hebrews 4:16, we have a high priest who sympathizes with us to provide the grace that we need. Here I am in this storm. Jesus knows me. He knows my name. He knows what I'm facing. He knows exactly what I need. I don't know what I need. I might want to think I do. I might try to figure it out, but I don't know. But he knows exactly what I need. And he brings that need before the throne of heaven. Does his prayers get answered? Every time, right? Every time. Never fails. So since the Lord directed the storm, and the Lord knows my situation, he knows my need, and he's praying for that need, hey, I can keep going a little bit. I can keep rowing some more. I can keep trusting and not give up, because he's got a plan for me. He's got a purpose in all this. And then there is the assurance that the Lord will come to me. The assurance that the Lord will come to me. Verse 25, and in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, it's a ghost. And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid. Peter said to him, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened and began to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. In the fourth watch of the night, he came to them. At just the right time, he came to them. And he spoke to them. Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid. The whole atmosphere changes. Jesus came and he spoke to them, and the whole atmosphere changes. It changes from, that's a ghost, to, Lord, if that's you, bid me come and walk on the water. It changes from human thinking, human logic, it's a ghost. People don't walk on water, right? So the only option they have, it's a ghost. You see, the disciples are relating to him now more on a human level than on a spiritual level. They're using human reasoning and human logic. They're even thinking that in terms of their relationship with him. They're thinking more of him as a person rather than God the Son. But now that's starting to change. Now they're starting to think spiritually. It's the Lord. If that's the Lord and he's walking on the water, then he can enable me to walk on water. If he's out there walking on the thing that's caused me all this fear, then he can enable me to walk on that and not be afraid. So outwardly, the storm is still raging. Inwardly, They're moving from walking by sight to walking by faith. Their faith is growing stronger. And in Peter, it grows to the point where he steps out of the boat on water. Yes? He took his eyes off the Lord. His faith weakened. He started to sink. But what does he do? He immediately calls out to the Lord for help. All night they've been going in this storm. Nobody has called out to the Lord for help. Nobody's even given a thought to the Lord. But now, Peter calls out to the Lord to help him. Now he has the spiritual sense and the faith to call to the Lord for help. And he and the Lord walk together back to the boat. Folks, we can be assured at the right time during the storm that you're facing, the Lord will come. And by His Spirit and through His Word, He will speak to your heart. He will speak to your heart exactly what you need to hear. He knows what you need. He knows what you need to hear. You don't. But he does, and he will speak exactly what you need to hear. It may be a new truth from his word, one that you'd never seen before. You may be reminded of an old truth. You may be given a new insight into an old truth. In my morning time with the Lord, I've just gone through the Psalms. And one morning, I was kind of feeling sorry for myself, and happened to be the 23rd Psalm that morning. And when I thought, okay, 23rd Psalm, okay, I know this. And I've heard this over and over again. And so I'm just kind of quickly going through it, and I get to the end. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely goodness and mercy, God's loving kindness, will follow me all the days of my life. I'd never stopped and thought of that before. That morning I stopped, and I thought back about my life. And you know the only things I could see? Was God's goodness and God's mercy. That's always back there. He gave me a whole new insight into an old psalm, an old truth. That helped me grow. That helped me have a new and fresh understanding of himself and his ways. No, the disciples, the storm is still raging. But internally, faith is being renewed. It's being strengthened. And then we have the assurance that the Lord will use this storm for our spiritual growth. Verse 31, immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him, took hold of Peter, and said to him, "You have little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind stopped, and those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "You are certainly God's son." Matthew records another time before this when the disciples were with Jesus in a boat in a storm. And Jesus was asleep, remember? They got scared, so they woke him up. He calmed the storm. You remember what they said? What kind of man is this? What manner of man is this? Now, they say, certainly, you are God the Son. That was what they were supposed to get from the miracle of the 5,000. That's what they should have understood then. They didn't get it then. Mark tells us, for they had not gained any insight from the incident of the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. They had gained no insight from watching that tremendous, taking part in that tremendous miracle. Now they got it. But you see, it took the storm for them to get it. It took the storm to open their spiritual understanding. Comfortable? No. Pleasant? No. Terrifying? Yes. But it was necessary for their spiritual growth in order for them to be prepared for what the Lord had for them down the road. We can be assured the Lord will use the storm in our lives to enable us to know Him better, to love Him more, and have greater confidence in His word. And then we have the assurance the Lord will complete His purpose. Jesus said, get into the boat. Go ahead of him to the other side. Matthew simply says in verse 34, and when they crossed over. But John gives us this insight. So they were willing to receive him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going. Jesus gets into the boat. You are God the Son, and they worshiped him. And Jesus assures them, guys, you got it. That confession is right on. That's who I am. And to give them that assurance and that confidence, he overrides time and distance. And immediately, they're at their destination. And who has rowed? Nobody. Nobody has to row the boat. He will complete his purpose. Storms will come. They will come. But rest assured, the Lord has directed it. Rest assured that he's praying for you. Rest assured that at the right time he will come to you by his Spirit, and through his word he will speak to your heart just what you need to hear. He will meet your need. Rest assured that he will use this experience to grow you spiritually. On the other side of it, you will know and understand him better than you have before. And rest assured, he will complete his purpose. And you will be prepared for the next experience he has for you in his will. Praise the Lord, huh? Praise the Lord. I want to close with this application. East Wenatchee First Baptist Church, you're in a storm. You're without a pastor. It's not your fault. You didn't do anything wrong. Your pastor didn't do anything wrong. He just retired. It's God's time. But now, for the first time in, 16 years or so, you don't have a pastor. Not comfortable, is it? And as you think, what's ahead? One of your thoughts is, how in the world are we going to make a right choice? How are we going to get the right man? It's a critical time. Decisions that are made during this time will affect this church for years to come. But the Lord intends for this period between pastors, to be a time of growth, of spiritual growth. For you as a congregation, it may be even numerical growth. Has the Lord directed the storm? Yep. What does that mean? That means you're exactly where He wants you to be. Remember, He's praying for you. He's praying for you that you will get the pastor that He has already picked out for you. He's the head of the church, isn't He? He's the one that assigns. He's already got the guy picked out. So each of us, each of you, including myself, must be certain that we give up all of our expectations of what we want in a pastor. Just forget all that stuff right now. You want the pastor that He has picked out for you. So that's what you're looking for. That's what you're praying for. Secondly, we have to make sure that we're yielded to the Holy Spirit. And thirdly, we have to be faithful in prayer. In prayer as individuals, in prayer as a family, but also faithful in prayer collectively. I'm thankful they have an evening service, and part of that time is in prayer. That's a good thing. And if you've not been a part of that, I'd encourage you to come if you can. It is a critical time. We'll have a couple of songs, and we'll have a little study of the Word, and we'll have a time to praise and thank the Lord for what He's done for us and what He's doing and sharing what God is doing in our life. But then we're going to have a prayer time of prayer where we'll pray. For one thing, we'll be praying for our search committee, and we'll be praying for ourselves as a congregation that we will be in step with the Lord, that we'll get in step with Him so that He can direct us to the right guy. And at the right time, He will come to you and He will let you know who that guy is. He'll give you the information you need so that you can make the right decision. And one of your questions is, how long is that going to take? I have no idea. In past experience, it's been anywhere from 8 months to 22 months. And you're hoping it's not that. I know. So am I. Because you want the man here. You see, that guy might not even be ready yet. He may be pastoring a church right now and has no intent of moving. No even thought of even changing churches. So God may have to do a work there. It's not just you being ready. He's got to be ready. But at the right time. And when your pastor comes, your faith in the Lord and His Word will be greater than it is right now. You will grow spiritually. You will know Him better. You will love Him more. And when the Lord completes that process and your pastor's here, you will be able to say to your pastor, now we are here in the presence of the Lord to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us. Amen? Amen. Amen. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for our time together. Lord, thank You for the Holy Spirit living in us, to teach us, to open our understanding, to encourage our hearts. We just give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.